Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, my Week 11 recap, guys, doing part one where I talk about Nafisha Collier out with surgery on both her ankles. We'll talk about that. Also, it was an exciting Sunday in women's college basketball. I'll cover some of that as well. Also, my players of the week. Also, player of the month, coach of the month, rookie of the month, and defensive player of the month. So all that and more. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are in the midst of week 12. In the NBA and all that's taking place as far as that goes. But nonetheless, guys, we'll recap all the stuff that happened in the NBA, also some women's stuff as well. So all that and more. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. I'll start with the women's basketball stuff first, as I usually always do. And the top story, Nafisha Collier, guys, for the Minnesota Lynx, but an unrival with the Lunar Owls. She is out for 4 to 6 months, guys. And she's set to have surgery on both her ankles. You remember the playoffs in that last game versus the Phoenix Mercury, when it was the play where her and Alyssa Thomas was going for the ball, and she just went down, guys, with the ankle. So now come to find out, she has a team of doctors working with her. It said, you know what? Both your ankles no good. We got to do the surgery. So she and her team of doctors decided that it's better to have surgery, get it over with, and be ready in time for the WNBA, provided there is a WNBA season ahead. You know, we have the deadline that's coming up, guys, January 9th to be exact, so we have to deal with that. But nonetheless, this is a crushing blow to the unrivaled league, guys. This is your co-founder, along with Breonna Stewart, not being up for the season. And mind you, guys, remember, last year, the Lunar Owls were the darling of the unrivaled league. So very dire straits for that team. In the interim, they will have Timi Fambele. She is going to replace Nafisha Collier. And we last saw Timi playing for the Golden State Valkyries. So, guys, having to be the player to make up for them not having Nafisha Collier. So, again, tough blow for the Lunar Owls, but looking at this timetable that's been set, 4 to 6 months, she's having this surgery in January, so she could be ready in time for training camp this time. And training camp is usually early May towards the early May. So could she be ready in time for training camp? That's the big question mark. Now, if it goes, because they say 4 months to six. So 4 months time, that will put her in around April. Probably. So That's the hopeful side. Now, the worst scenario would be if it's the 6 months, which means this will carry into the season. So, bottom line, guys, really is it all depends on her rehab and how the ankles respond after. So, long road ahead for Nefesia as far as getting back on the court and being 100%. So, of course, prayers up to Nefesia as she undergoes this procedure on her ankles. So, but she's had some things to say, guys, as far as the negotiations in the for the WNBA. Now, I'm trying to see if I have, I believe I saved it. Give me 1 second. Well, I have some sound from her. First, I'll read her statement. Let's do that. This is the statement she wrote on Instagram regarding this. I am heartbroken to share that I will miss this unrivaled season. I have worked hard last month to be back with my Owls and was devastated to be told by my team of doctors that surgery was the best path forward. I will still be cheering on my teammates every step of the way, and I will continue to work relentlessly with the rest of the players and our staff to push our sport forward and raise the bar for women's basketball. I will be back at full strength as soon as possible and ready to return where I left off. But for now, it's still and always will be Hootie Hoot. You know, that's the rallying cry for the Lunar Owls. So that is Nefesia Collier's message that she put on Instagram. Now, she recently spoke to the folks at Unrivaled, and this is what she had to say in terms of those negotiations. Listen.
What it takes to run a sustainable business. So I think if they can't find a model that makes it happen, they need to put people in place to clean it. Because we've proven that, and we're thriving in that. And so I do think a deal's going to get done, but first thing first, we believe in one thing about down, and we can't take less. The sport has just grown too much. It'd be a disservice. The people who came before us, so the work that we did, to take less than what we're owed.
So that is what Nefesia had to say in terms of the WNBA negotiations, that the players are united in this, guys. They're standing tough as far as what they want and what they deserve. So will there be a meeting of the minds by the deadline of January 9th? I'm not sure, to be honest with you. To be really honest, I'm not sure. But, I mean, it doesn't look good as far as them getting it done by week's end. It doesn't look good. I have to say that. So, but that's her stance. And, you know, she's one of the folks that's part of that leadership as far as, of course, the president is Nneka Nwumike. Also, you have Breonna Stewart in a prominent position. Kelsey Plum as well. I believe she's like the secretary or the treasurer, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But we'll see what happens. So, Nefesia news, as far as that goes. Let us continue. Like I said, I was in front of my TV Sunday. I said, you know what? I haven't seen Audie Crooks play yet, so let me check her out. So what I did was put on ESPN, and I actually caught the tail end of a game between Furman and North Carolina. Pretty good game that went into overtime. In fact, it delayed the showing of Iowa State playing Baylor. So I said, you know what? Let me tough it out. I'll watch this game here. Good game. Competitive game, guys. Stanford ends up winning, and they win by the score of 77-71 in overtime, like I said. And leading the way for them was Courtney Ogden. Their junior, she had 1.4. And then for North Carolina, Nyla Harris, their senior, 18 points and 5 rebounds. Again, very competitive game. And actually, UNC was up, and Stanford kind of roared back and were able to tie it, sending it to overtime. So there you have it as far as that goes. So that was a good game. And then parallel to that, guys, the upset. They beat, oh, by the way, Stanford beat North Carolina, that was ranked 16th in the country. Duke, they pulled the upset, beating Notre Dame, who was ranked 18th in the country, beat them soundly, 82-68, guys. And in that game, guys, you had the likes of Mayer. Their senior, she had 23 points. She actually dropped 4 threes in the game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. And Toby Fournier, their sensational sophomore, she had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals to lead the way for Duke. And then for Notre Dame, Hannah Hidalgo, of course, the junior, 22 points. She had 4 threes dropped in, and also 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals for Notre Dame. But Notre Dame, they take one on the chin, and they suffer the loss, guys. So there you have that. Also, parallel to this game, well, actually, the Duke game was a 1 o'clock game. Yeah, I believe it was 1 o'clock. Yes, yes. And then also around the same time, South Carolina, they played Florida, guys. And a game that was, it was close somewhat. But nonetheless, South Carolina prevails 74-63. And South Carolina, they're ranked third in the country. Led even at 17 points, 6 rebounds. And then how about this game for their senior? She's a big for them, Medina Okot. She had 12 points, 17 rebounds, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. Wow. I mean, that's a game there that she had. And then for Florida, they were led by Liv McGill. She saw more than 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. So there you have that. Then the game that I was laser focused on, Iowa State, the 10th ranked team in the country, and they came into this game undefeated, guys, facing the Baylor Bears, who themselves, they're ranked 22nd in the country. And what was a very good game, guys, very good, came now to the last, and Baylor prevails, guys. 72-70. And this, in this game, like I said, I was watching to watch Audie Crooks, who had a very fine game. 26 points, 10 rebounds, so she gets the double-double right there. And then Jada Williams, she has the career high. She dropped 6 threes in this game. She was phenomenal, guys. 7 assists. But Baylor prevails, led by Talia Scott. She had 21 points, 3 rebounds. I believe she had the game-winning basket as well. She was ice cold in the beginning of this game, but heated up in the second half. And then you had Dariana Little Bugs. She had a phenomenal game. Their senior, 13 points, 20 rebounds, guys. 2 steals and 2 blocks in the game to help pull off the upset of Iowa State. And after the game, this is Audie Crooks when she was asked about the loss. And I thought this was a good response here from Audie Crooks.
How valuable is that film, and how much can you build, you know, given that we're just in early January?
Yeah, that's huge. You don't want to play your best basketball in January. You don't want to be a monster in January. You want to be a monster in March. And in order to do that, you need to recognize your flaws. You need to recognize your shortcomings. And if you don't lose, if we would have won today, those rebounds that I missed seem a lot less significant. Those shots that I missed seem a lot less significant. That we had, it's a lot. If you lose, it really just puts everything out there. You have to look in that mirror and recognize what you need to do better. And because we have that early, oh, March? Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this is the sounds of someone who understands the assignment, which is getting that shit at the end of the season. So I thought it was a mature response. I thought she took accountability for what she did not do in the game. So did not throw her teammates under the bus, put it all on her. That's what you want to hear from your star player. So I thought it was a very mature response. And they'll bounce back. This is a thing that's been there for a while, guys. So I expect them to bounce back from this and continue their upward arc in this season. So there you go there. Then the next game I wanted to check out, which came on immediately after, Vanderbilt, who is 12th in the country, guys, taking on LSU, who's ranked 5th. Another player I wanted to see that I've been hearing all about, Mikayla Blakes, guys, the sensational sophomore, and she had one heck of a game, guys. 32 points for her. 4 assists, 3 steals in the game, guys, for Vanderbilt, who ends up winning 65-61. LSU, they had their problems. Flaugey only played 18 minutes, guys. Seemed like she was out of sync in this game. But Coach Kim Mulkey, she ends up starting Malaysia Fawali, and she's a junior. And I tell you what, guys, she is so talented, guys. But, you know, she makes mistakes on the court. She had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. She'll make mistakes on the court, guys. But you just got to be like, wow. But, and she doesn't really start games. She's come off the bench definitely when she was with Dawn Staley at University of South Carolina, and then Kim Mulkey had her on the bench, but she's inserted her into the starting lineup. And I'd say she's probably earned a start. So she basically earned the chance to be a starter going forward. She just got to clean up the mistakes, but this is a way to wake up. If she can figure it out, guys, LSU will be a tough team. Their balance as is with Flaje there, Michaela Williams, who they have as well, some freshmen they have on the squad. The only problem with them is rebounding. You know, you don't have a Nisa Morrow. You don't have an Angel Reese there. So the rebounding is lacking. But I think Kim Mulkey, come next season, either she's going to transfer in somebody or she's going to bring in somebody who can bang the boards, because one thing is lacking. So there you go. But this was a very good game nonetheless. And Vanderbilt, who's undefeated, and they hadn't beat a ranked foe, I want to say, in 6 years is what they said on the broadcast. So the coach over there, Shea Ralph, is doing a fantastic job. So, and hey, listen, they're going to have Michaela Blakes for the next couple of seasons. So I think I see things going up for Vanderbilt right now. So. So there you have that. So that was a good game. And then the last game I'll talk about is Texas, the number two team in the country. They played Ole Miss, coached by Coach Yo. And they were able to win that game 67-64. Another tough game on that Sunday, guys. But nonetheless, Texas remains undefeated at 17-0, led by Jordan Lee, their sophomore, 17 points, 4 rebounds. Jackson Bush Jr., 15, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. And then for Ole Miss, Cody McMahon, she's a senior, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then also Latasha Latimer, their senior, she had 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And McMahon is so there you have that. But Ole Miss with the loss, and Texas remains undefeated. So there you go. All right, guys, a couple more things, and then we'll close out this episode for now. We're heading to the NBA. Players of the week for week 11. We'll start with the West. How about Denae Avdija? I've been talking about him all season long for the Portland Trailblazers. His team went 3-1 for the week. They beat Dallas in a game where Donovan Clingan and Cooper Flagg meets for the first time as pros. And I didn't find this out until they said it. Do you know, guys, Donovan Clingan's mom, his mom, Stacy, Porini Clingan, she was an outstanding center for the University of Maine. Do you know that she played along with Cooper Flagg's mother, Kelly Bowman Flagg? They were teammates over there at the University of Maine. Wow. So, and we know that Stacy Porini Clingan, she passed away in March of 2018 from breast cancer. And actually, Cooper Flagg's mom was one of the people who attended the funeral. And yeah, so that's a bit of history between those two players there. So there you go. But nonetheless, and actually, Cooper Flagg contemplated going to UConn, where Donovan Clingman was, but he ends up going to Duke. So there you have that. So those two meet. But they beat them. They beat New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans, a game where Avaja had an outstanding game, 34 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, where he dueled Zion Williamson, who had 35 points of his own, along with 8 rebounds, but Avaja gets the win. And then at San Antonio, where he got a triple-double, guys, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists for the win. Their loss this week was at OKC, so which there's no shame in that. Everybody's losing to OKC, so there you go. But for the week, he averaged nearly 27 points per game, nearly 10 assists, and over 8 rebounds. Shot it from the field, almost 46%. You can stand that. 8 for 21 from 3. And from the free throw line, 44 attempts. He made 33 of his field free throws. So, Dene Avaja, who's playing all-star basketball, guys, he's your player of the week for the West. In the East, how about Tyrese Maxey, guys, for the Philadelphia 76ers? For the week, his team went 3-0. They beat Memphis in Memphis, Dallas in Dallas, and unfortunately, my Knicks at Madison Square Garden. And he drops 34 in both the Memphis game and the Dallas game, guys. And in the Memphis game, you saw a game where John Morant dropped 40 in the loss. And that game went into overtime, by the way. Then he drops another 34 against Dallas, along with 10 assists, 8 rebounds. And then against New York, he drops 36. And he hits 6 threes in that game. 8 rebounds, 4 assists for him. And Jalen Brunson gets 31 in the loss. For the week, he averaged nearly 35 per game. Nearly 9 assists and almost 7 rebounds for him. From the field, sensational, especially him being a long-distance shooter. Over 61%, guys, from the field. Wow. 14 for 26 from 3. Yeah, that's outstanding. And he only went to a free throw line 11 times. He made 8 of them. So there you go. So Tyrese Maxey playing outstanding basketball for the Sixers, trying to keep them afloat, guys. He's your player of the week. Week 11. In the Eastern Conference. All right, guys, so that is it for that. Top story, December, guys. We have all your player of the month, coach, rookie, defensive player. So let us start with your player of the month. In the West, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Oklahoma City Thunder. His team went 9-4 for the month. He averaged over 31 points per game and over 6 assists. Well, he's my guy, Captain Clutch, Jalen Brunson. Averaged above 30.5 points per game, over 7 assists as well. You definitely take that if you're a Knicks fan. his team went 10-4 for the month, so that you'll definitely like that as well. And from three guys for the month, over 40%, which is very good, well above the average. So those are your players for the month. Coach of the month in the West, which is no surprise to me, Mitch Johnson for the San Antonio Spurs. His team went 11-3, guys. Included in that is three wins against OKC. So there you go there. And then in the West, you have, in the East, you have Joe Mazzulla, and he's for the Boston Celtics. 9-3 for the month. They had five road wins, by the way. So there you go there. Rookies of the month in the West, Cooper Flagg. He had a nice month, 23.3, over six rebounds, nearly five assists. For the East, Con Nupel for Charlotte Hornets, over nearly 21 points per game and almost five assists. Defensive player of the month, go through that right quick. Chet Holmgren in the West for OKC. And in the East, Isaiah Stewart for Detroit Pistons. So there you go. All right, guys, so I'll cut it off there. All things basketball with GD.com, the website. There you find all my clips, my videos, all the YouTube page. I'm there. Also, guys, on my social media, Instagram, TikTok, and some Facebook, some Blue Sky. Also, on all the podcast platforms, Apple, you know, leave reviews, all the things, YouTube page as well. And that's about it. All right, guys, I'll bring you part two momentarily. Thank you for listening. We'll talk soon. Take care.